Well, hey, praise the Lord, I'm Pastor Michael Jakes, and welcome to The Bible Speaks Live. Once again, coming to you with a word for your heart and for your soul. We pray that all is well once again with you as we open up the Word of God. Amen. We are streaming right now live over Facebook, YouTube, and Spreaker.com. That is our podcast platform. You go there and you will find the other podcasts that the Lord has graced us to be able to produce over the years. You can also go to our website, which is thatstheword.org, and you can go to our YouTube channel, which is That's the Word Ministries. Amen. Tonight we are going to be talking about the fox. Amen. The fox. What to do when the fox speaks. Who is the fox? What can the fox do? How can we destroy the fox? Amen. All of that is coming up next. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Back, amen, and it's good to have you here with us at this time. As we said, tonight we are going to be speaking about the fox, amen, and we're going to be defining who the fox is, what the fox does, and how we can deal with the fox, amen. So we're going to open up in a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into it. Lord, we bless your name tonight. We thank you once again for giving us this word. Lord, we praise you, and thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. Lord, we pray that now, as your word does go forth, Lord, we pray that you will bless those under the sound of your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you will give us special grace. Lord, I pray that you will, shake the forces of hell, even as this word goes forth, Lord Jesus. We know that this word is directed at God's people, but it is also a word to those who are the enemies of the cross. So Lord, tonight we bless your name. We thank you. And Lord, we pray that you will be with us. Lord, your word no violence. Lord, draw those who need to hear this word today to this place on the World Wide Web. Lord, have your way. Bless us together right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're excited. We're excited about this word that we believe the Lord has given us. And we pray that you will grab a hold of your Bibles or your smart device. We're coming from the King James Version, as always. And we're talking about tonight, we are talking about the fox. What to do when the fox speaks. Amen. So let me bring you to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And I'm speaking from Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. And I'll start reading in verse number 31. Luke chapter 13, starting in verse number 31. It says, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." That was so good. I want to read it one more time, verse number 31. "And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Before we begin, let me just say hello to on YouTube, the CGR. God bless you, Cairo. God bless you, Sharon. Go tell that fox. Who is the fox? Who is the fox? Well, here, in context, the fox is speaking of Herod. Oh, it's Herod. The Pharisees coming. Anytime in scripture you see Pharisees, Sadducees, in the presence of Jesus, you know that there is a problem brewing. You know that they have come for nothing but trouble. And in this instance, they are coming to Jesus with a word. They're coming to Jesus with something that they know or something that they've heard, but it's information that they believe that Jesus should know. Now, it comes off as if they are trying to kind of help Jesus out, trying to give him some advice. But Jesus has words for them also, as we've just read. And they tell him, get out, leave, cease operation, go, because Herod is going to kill you. Herod, the king, that corrupt man of authority, he is going to kill you. Now, Herod and the Herods in general, that entire family, they were known. They were, just to put it plainly and bluntly, they were cruel, they were corrupt, they were despicable, they were just wicked. They were a wicked family of individuals. And there was incest involved, and there was murder involved, and there was a whole lot of different things going on within that family. And they would, and Herod would, stoop to anything to keep his power. And so the word comes down from the authority. Herod is going to kill you. Now, how does Jesus respond? Do you see Jesus turning and running? Do you see Jesus being backed into a corner? What does Jesus do? Jesus comes right back and says, listen, you go. You tell that fox. And when you're talking about a fox, you're talking about someone who is sly, who is cunning, who is corrupt. He says, you go and tell that fox. Look, tell him to come. Tell him to come and see what I am doing and what I am going to continue to do. He says, behold, I cast out devils. He says, I do cures. When? Now and tomorrow. And on the third day, I shall be perfected. In other words, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing now. I'm going to continue what I'm doing tomorrow and the day after. And I will not be finished until I am done. And then on the third day, I shall be perfected. He did not allow the words, the threats of this evil man to curtail his ministry. Intimidation is a very real thing. It is very real. And intimidation is meant to strike fear in the hearts of those who speak the gospel. Let me give you a definition of the word intimidate. It is to frighten or overawe someone, especially in order to make them do or persuade them to do what you want them to do. It is to menace. It is to terrify. It is to scare. It is to terrorize. That is intimidation. And it is a very real thing. Now, we talked about who the fox is in context. But also, when we look at the fox, the fox here also represents the corrupt world system of this present age that is opposed to God's word and God's people. That is the fox. The fox. We're going to get more into that as we move along. The definition of the fox, will mushroom as we move along here tonight. But who are the targets? And we're going to be talking about seven different aspects of intimidation. And on the seventh one, the seventh aspect is the aspect that blows it all up, that defeats it, that stops it in its tracks. But seven points concerning intimidation. Number one, who are the targets? Who are the targets of intimidation? Well, they are pastors. They are teachers. They are evangelists. They are Christians of all levels and persuasions. And intimidation is aimed at anyone who faithfully, let me use that word very carefully, anyone who faithfully and truthfully handles the word of God. Now, someone who is spouting out false teaching is not going to deal with real intimidation, because much of what is false teaching will be something pleasant to the ears, pleasant to what the world wants. The world will not have a problem with the message, but the true gospel message will cause intimidation in the hearts of those who hear it, because truth has a way of getting right to where the heart is. Truth, when it's, once again, truth. And once again, intimidation is aimed at those who faithfully and truthfully handle the word of truth, scripture. Amen? Because, listen, we are called to walk in the truth, and we are called to love the truth. That's what we're here for. Okay? And so those are the targets. If you're a pastor, if you're a teacher, if you're an evangelist, you are a target of intimidation. The enemy wants to intimidate you. The enemy seeks to intimidate you. Okay? Now, what is the intent? Number two, what is the intent of intimidation? Intimidation is meant to silence you. Intimidation is meant to frustrate you. Intimidation is meant, obviously, to scare you. And intimidation is meant to subvert. It's meant to subvert, undermine the power and authority that we have in Christ. That's what intimidation does. That's what intimidation will do. And now, we said that the definition of intimidation is to get someone to do what they want them to do. In the case of Christ, they wanted Jesus to leave, move out, pack up, go away. Now, it may not be that may not be the case with any one of us when or if intimidation comes our way. But they want those who intimidate want you to modify. Listen, don't talk about Jesus. Okay? Don't talk about the blood. Okay? Modify your message. Adapt your message. Adapt your message to align with the world's view of things. You don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to shake up the world. You don't want to offend people. Okay? Intimidation may not begin as something that is menacing. It may be very subtle at first, but when we don't give in to it, then the intimidation, that's when the menacing and the scaring and the terrorizing will come into play. So intimidation, once again, it is a very real thing. The world and its system would love for us to stop. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. They would love that, okay? This world system does not want us to present this powerful gospel message, because the powerful gospel message will do what only it can do. It will save souls. It will break chains. It will heal lives. That's what the gospel does. You see, with the world, people, those who are unsaved, are entrenched in darkness, entrenched in the life that they live, and they don't want to be moved. They don't want to be changed. Satan has their hearts and their minds under sway. He has blinded their minds so they do not see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But intimidation says, stop. And once again, the intimidation, let's look at number three. Let's look at the look of intimidation. What does intimidation look like? Listen, intimidation is a bully move. It is a bully move. But the fact is, and we'll get into this in a little later on, the fact is that Satan's power was stripped away from him. His power was stripped away from him. Bullies operate from a foundation of fear. Bullies are afraid. That's why they come out with the boldness and the meanness and the macho-ness, if I could use that word. That's why they come out so vociferously, because in actuality, they are in fear themselves. You see, if you walk in the power and authority that God has given us through Christ, if you walk in that manner, I myself, we are an intimidation to the devil. He is afraid of us when we walk in the power of God. That's a fact. And so Satan has much to fear from us. Okay? And these truths, these facts are things that he doesn't want you or I to know. And he doesn't want us to make it known that he is already defeated. Listen, anytime you begin to speak about Satan in this way, anytime you begin to speak about the devil in a way that puts him down and puts him in his place, he will come and he will attack. He will attack. He will come at you. I always expect Satan to come at me, so to speak, when I speak this way concerning his movement and his operation. I literally expect him to attempt or do something. Okay? Because listen, you look at the story of Elijah on the mountain, on Mount Carmel, and you see the great victory that Elijah had on the mountain. But then he comes down from the mountain. Be careful. Listen, right after victory, be careful. Be careful after victory, because now Satan is angry. Now you know the secret. Now you know the truth. Now you have been delivered, so to speak, and now Satan will come, and he will hammer down, and he will do his best to take God's word off of your lips, out of your mouth, out of your heart. He will do that. And so once victory happens, once you realize that your victory is in the cross, Satan will come. He will come, especially when you begin to speak in such a way as we are speaking tonight. Number four, we talked about the targets of intimidation, the intent of intimidation, the look of intimidation. Number four, what's the source? Where does intimidation come from? Intimidation arises from the voices of people. The voices of people. Intimidation arises from groups. Intimidation rises from entities. All these things are part of the world system. And all those in these groups, these voices, these groups, these entities, all they are, as unsaved, as those who are unsaved. Now, I'm gonna make this statement because Scripture makes this statement and makes it very clearly. Those who don't know the Lord, regardless of who they are enemies of the cross. Enemies of the cross. Let me read you from Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Starting in verse number 18, Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19. It says, "For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So you see an apt description of those who are enemies of the cross. And that final one, earth, it talks about they mind earthly things. These are those who are enemies of the cross, and they abound. They abound. Paul says that it causes him weeping to know that there are people in this condition, and he was trying to reach them. But listen, the truth is that some people don't want to be reached. Amen. God bless you, Carlene. God bless you. Some people do not want to be reached, and that is the truth. Amen. Listen, as your faith, as we said earlier, as your faith remains singularly in Christ, your you stand up as Christ in you stands as a guardian and a bullion against Satan. Amen. So the source of temptation, the source rather of intimidation, groups, entities, all of these, sometimes they converge. Remember, the world system, the entire world system is opposed to that which is Christ. And if you are in Christ, you are a target of the enemy. Period. Point blank, you are a target. Amen. Let me give you number five. We're talking about what intimidation looks like. Give you 7 points. Number five. Let me give you the reason for intimidation. What's the reason for intimidation? Now, each of these groups that we talked about, we're talking about individuals, we're talking about groups or entities, whoever they are, each sees Christianity as a threat. Why? Because of the truth it speaks. Listen, Christianity is truth. Is truth. I'll say one more time. Christianity is truth. I could say is the truth, but Christianity is truth. Amen? And authentic Christianity is a threat to the agenda, to the mindset, and to the worldview of those who are entrenched in this present age. Understand what we mean. And I'm going to bear down on this. Authentic Christianity. Not the Christianity that makes you feel good. We're not talking about feel-good Christianity. No. Not feel-good Christianity. Not we don't talk about sin at all Christianity. No. We're not talking about that type of Christianity. We're not talking about get rich with my message Christianity. That's not authentic Christianity. No. We're talking about authentic Christianity, and authentic Christianity will change hearts. It will change hearts. It will change souls. It will bring new life. Listen, Jesus did not come to give you a good life. Uh-oh, what are you talking about? No, Jesus did not come to give you a good life. Jesus came to make changes. He came to make changes. He came to make people into new creations. That's why Jesus came. And so this feel-good message, that appeals to the world, that blots out the cross, that blots out the blood, that doesn't talk about who Jesus really is, that's what the world wants to hear. That's exactly what the world wants to hear. The world wants to hear a message that is void of the blood, void of the truth, void of who Jesus is. Don't talk about sin. Come on, we don't talk about sin. Don't talk about judgment. Don't talk about these things. Listen, make me feel good. My ears are itching. I have itching ears. The Bible says that in the last days, there will be times when people will have itching ears, wanting teachers who will scratch their itching ears. In other words, tell them sweet nothings in their ear. Tell them how good things are when things are bad. And that is not an authentic gospel. Galatians chapter 1 talks about this. Many in the world today are preaching another gospel, another Jesus. And this other gospel and this other Jesus will never save. It does not save. It does not deliver. It makes promises that it does not keep. That is not authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity is a threat, once again, I repeat, to the authority, to the mindset, to the agenda, to the worldviews of those who are entrenched in the clutches of the world. Authentic Christianity. And so the only way to deal with authentic Christianity is intimidation. Intimidation. The early church was sieged, besieged. They had to go underground because of the message that they spoke. The message was powerful and people were getting saved. And everywhere they spread, everywhere that the early church spread, there were people that were still getting saved, still getting saved. And so even when you bring persecution and you cause the Christian message and the Christian people, authentic Christian people, when you cause them to spread out, it doesn't stop the message. It spreads out the message because we take the message with us wherever we go. That is authentic Christianity. No. See, authentic Christianity is not just in church on a Sunday morning. Authentic Christianity is a Christian 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That is authentic Christianity. Not the weekend Christianity. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Authentic Christianity. And so we must know the difference. And when you are living your life in such a way that Christ is at the center of all that you do, yes, the world will stand up and take notice. But the world, once again, when it is authentic, real, when the world sees that, don't think that the world, don't get this confused, don't get it twisted, don't think that the world is just going to come hug you and come around you and say, good job, I'm so glad, you're such a good person. There are elements of the world that you will get that in many quarters, but authentic Christianity causes a rift. A rift. Jesus said he came to bring separation. And when the authentic gospel message goes out, yes, there will be people who will be caught in the net. People are going to be convicted. People are going to be drawn to the Lord, not to you. People are going to be drawn to the Lord. But there is also that element which will be, they're going to say, no, I will not. I will not listen. I will not submit. And that is the prevalent voice of the world. Amen. Once again, the authentic gospel message. Didn't mean to get caught up in that, but listen, there is an authentic gospel and there is a false gospel. And we need to know the difference. The authentic gospel message changes lives. And the inauthentic gospel message just makes people feel good. And there is a difference, a big, big difference. Amen. Now, those who are caught up and entrenched in the world system do not realize the state that they are in. There is a blindness. There is a blindness, once again, because let me read what it says in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Chapter number 4, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Let me start at verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And let me bring this out. If you are under, one of the reasons why intimidation will come from the world is to get you to hide the message. To hide the message. Don't talk about Jesus. Come on. No. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse number 4. In whom the God of this world, who is Satan, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is a method, there is a reason, there is a purpose for the devil's madness. He doesn't want people to see the light. He doesn't want them to know the light. He doesn't want the light to shine on them. Satan knows that when the light shines on them, that the gospel will change them. So modify the message, change the message, hide the message. Don't talk about Jesus so much. Don't talk about the blood so much. Listen, if it were not for the blood, you're not saved. If it were not for the blood, you're dead in your sins. If it were not for the blood, you and I have a ticket on an express to hell. If Jesus did not die and shed his blood for us, that is why we must shine the light of the gospel. So there is a reason for intimidation. Stop. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't say another word about who Jesus is and what he has done. Continue to preach candy sermons. Continue to preach feel-good sermons. Continue to preach tiptoe through the tulip sermons. La, 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 we're all happy, everything is fine sermons. Keep the people in darkness. Keep the people in blindness. Let's just sing Kumbaya and go home. Nope, that's not the gospel message. That's not the authentic gospel message. And that's what the world wants. That's what the world wants. Once again, let me go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 19. And we know that we are, listen to what John says. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And in the original Greek, it means the whole world is under the sway or control of the evil one. That's the state of the world. That's the state of the world. And just as Satan is antagonistic toward Christ and the gospel and God's people, he wants those who he has under his control to be. He wants those who he controls to also have the same antagonism and hatred for Christ and the gospel. And for the most part, that is how the world is. Listen, be very careful. Be very careful when folk pat you on the back. Be very careful when folk pat you on the back and say, good job. Good job. Nice preaching. Listen, we're not trying to impress. We're not trying to make friends when we're preaching. We're not trying to make people feel happy and feel good when we preach. We preach the full counsel of God. That means that we're going to talk about sin, judgment. We're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk about justification. We're going to talk about hell. We're going to talk about heaven. The full counsel of God's word. So be very careful. Sometimes a word is going to rub you the wrong way. Why? Because that's the Holy Ghost trying to speak to you. That's the Holy Ghost trying to talk. That's the Holy Ghost trying to get through to you. And so rather than be offended, hear what the Holy Ghost is trying to say. Hear what the Holy Ghost is trying to say. Number six, we've talked about so far of the targets of intimidation, the intent of intimidation, the look of intimidation, the source of intimidation. We talked about the reason for intimidation. Now let's talk about the voice of intimidation. We've talked a little bit about it already, but what does the voice of intimidation say? You can't do it. You should not do it. You better not do it. Now we're talking about we're talking about tonight, if I have not said it already, if I have not made it clear, we're talking about intimidation in the context of spreading the gospel. I'm sure you understand that's where what I've been talking about, but I haven't said it specifically. We're talking about intimidation in the realm of preaching and spreading the gospel. Okay? That's what we mean. We know that intimidation touches on different other parts of our life, intimidation and things and people try to bring fear in other areas of our life. I understand that. But we're talking about intimidation as it concerns the gospel and the spreading of it. Amen? Now, if you pay homage to intimidation, if you listen to the voice of intimidation, it will paralyze you. It will paralyze you. It will hold you down. It will freeze you. It will do, as we said earlier, it will silence you. It will frustrate you. It will serve to effectively stop the flow of the gospel. That's what intimidation is meant to do, to bring fear and cause you to do what the fearmongers, the ones who bring intimidation, what they want you to do. And what it is, for the most part, as we said, is to stop spreading the gospel. Stop speaking the truth. It bothers me. It affects me. Stop. Stop. That's the voice of intimidation. We must not, listen, we must not listen to the devil's lies. The devil is a liar and the father of it. When he speaks a lie, let me go there. Let me read it in person. Let me read the exact words. I don't want to even say it wrong. I don't want to even say it wrong. Here's what Jesus said. Starting in verse John chapter 8 and verse number 54. John chapter 8, starting in verse number 54. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep this saying. Your father, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. And he was glad. I missed the verse that talks about him being calling them a liar. But I'm quite sure that you are aware that he called them a liar here in these verses. When Satan speaks a lie, he speaks, here it is in verse number 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's the devil. That's who he is. In a small package, he is a liar. A liar. It's all he has. It's all he has when it pertains to the child of God. All he can do, well, he does it to the world. Of course, he does it to the world. And the world takes it in. The world receives it. And the world doesn't understand that they're being lied to and hoodwinked. They don't realize it. But we, the people of God, we should be able to see a lie and hear a lie and understand a lie when we hear it. We should be. And that the closer that we are to the word of God, let me go to Hebrews real quick before we begin to close down here tonight. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14, because it talks about here, Hebrews 5 and 14 talks about discernment and the need for discernment. We should know a lie when we hear it. Here's what it says. But strong meat, talking about the deep things of scripture, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We are to effectively use scripture to help us to discern good from evil. We need to know a lie when we hear one. And Satan is a liar. A liar par excellence. That's what he is. That's what he does. So the voice of intimidation wants to stop you and the spread of the gospel in its tracks. Finally, number seven. Number seven. The victory over intimidation. What is the victory over intimidation? How do we respond to intimidation? There's only one way to respond to intimidation. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Intimidation, this tool, this wicked tool that Satan uses, intimidation comes because Satan was already defeated at the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, spoiled, that's what Jesus did on the cross. At the cross, Jesus effectively snatched away, pulled away Satan's power and authority over God's people on the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so when intimidation comes, take Satan back to the place where he was defeated. Satan was defeated at the cross. He was defeated by the blood, through the blood, because of the blood. Okay? Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. And they overcame him, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto the death. It was the blood. The blood. You know the song? I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Amen? So the world wants to snatch the blood out of the message of the gospel. And when you snatch the blood out of the message of the gospel, it is no longer the message of the gospel. There's no gospel without the blood of Jesus. It doesn't exist. It's some foreign thing. I don't know what it is, but there is no gospel apart from the blood of Jesus. And so when intimidation comes, you need to stand. Stand on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Amen? Stand. Scripture says, and having done all, Scripture says, to stand. Stand. Don't be at all intimidated. Not at all. Amen? The devil is a lie. Amen, Dawn. Only by the blood. Only by the blood. Let me give you some tips. And we'll be done here. If you're dealing with intimidation, talk about, once again, it's all by the cross. It's all through the cross. But number one, you got to walk knowledgeably. In other words, be informed. The cross makes this possible. The cross. Number two, walk carefully. Be protected. The cross makes this possible. Thirdly, walk boldly. Be emboldened. The cross makes this possible. Finally, walk forwardly. Don't walk backward. Don't be pushed into a corner. Walk forwardly. Be directed. The cross makes this possible. The cross makes all of it possible. We need to have a correct understanding of the cross. And none of us can say that we have a full understanding of the cross and all it means. We don't even know all of the blessings of the cross. We read about them, and we muse over them. We bless the Lord over what we read about the cross in Scripture, but I'm sure we don't fully understand it. Not at all. We don't fully understand it, but we need to allow the cross to become that part of our lives that's at the center of our lives. Amen? Amen, Dawn. Without speaking about the blood, the conversation is null and void. It is empty without the blood. And can you imagine somebody preaching and telling you, come to Jesus. And listen, when you talk about Jesus, you should also be talking about the blood. But trust me, there are those who preach about Jesus, but preach around the blood. They preach around the cross. It is a message that is mixed. It is convoluted. It is confused because they've taken the blood out of the message. The blood, it's too messy. People don't want to hear about that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It is by the blood, through the blood of Jesus, that we are here. And that is how we defeat intimidation. By the blood. You stand. You don't back up. You move forward. God told his people to move forward. Always. Always. We are always in forward motion. Never are we to back up. Never are we to retreat. We are to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Standing still is also moving forward because we're listening and we're hearing what the Lord has to say. We need to not be intimidated by the voices, the people, the groups, the entities that are around us. They mean us no good. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Let me close with that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. Let me close it right there. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand firm. Don't be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Stay in your place. Do the work of an evangelist. Speak in season and out of season. Don't let the world and its voices intimidate you or push you around or down. Stand firm. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we are encouraged tonight because your word is true. We are encouraged tonight because your word sticks to us, Lord Jesus. Your word is a lamp. Your word is a light unto our path. And Lord, we honor you and we praise you for who you are and what you have done and what you are going to do. Lord, we know that intimidation is real. And Lord, we pray that when intimidation and if intimidation comes in our direction, that we will abide in you, that we will stand firm and not allow ourselves to be moved, to continue to place our faith in you and you alone. We don't put our trust in kings and princes. Lord, we put our trust in you as you remain our focus, our focal point, our center, our object of faith. Lord, we pray that we will, and we know that we will continue to have the victory. Lord, bless us, keep us, bless each and every one under the sound of your word tonight that are watching and those who are listening. Lord, I pray that you will have your way in their lives. Lord, deal with them, lead them, and guide them in all the things that they are dealing with and going through. Lord, I pray for strength. And Lord, I pray that you will give us the power through your Holy Spirit to stand even in the evil day that we are living in. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. God is good. God is good. I can't hear you saying amen, but I think there may be some of you out there that are saying amen, but amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. And we just bless him and we honor him and we thank him. We thank him for his word. Amen. And God bless you, Dawn. And thank you. Amen. Cairo. God bless you. Thank you for joining us here on tonight. Colleen and Sharon and C, GR, Nadine. Thank you all for joining us and being with us. Amen. God is working and God is moving. Amen. The Lord put this word on my heart just a few days ago, it's the devil is real. Let me just put it that way. The devil is real. Amen. Kara says, when you're talking about cross, meaning you're talking about the blood of Jesus. Yes. Yes. It was at the cross where Jesus shed his blood. Amen. So when we're talking about the cross, you hear us talk about the cross a lot. We're not talking about so much the wooden beam, the wood that he died on. But when we're talking about the cross, we're talking about what transpired, what happened there on the cross, what happened there at that place called Calvary. It was where Jesus gave his life and shed his blood for our sins. Amen. So that's what we mean when you hear us talk about the cross. The cross, it's what happened at the cross that was efficacious. Listen, the wood cross itself, if they would go on an excavation and look for the cross, and they came up and found the actual cross, the actual wooden cross that Jesus actually died on, it would mean nothing. It would mean nothing. I know that people would lift it up as some sort of relic, but there's no power in a piece of wood. It's what happened there at the cross that made it efficacious, and it was his blood that was shed there. Amen? So thank you. Hope that answers your question. So we just bless the Lord and honor him, and we thank him for giving us once again this opportunity to open up his word as we do on a weekly basis. You can join us here on a weekly basis. We begin on Sunday and we end on Wednesday. Tomorrow night, you can join us tomorrow night as we continue in the Cutting It Right Bible study, the first principles of the Christian life. We are going to continue speaking about the eternal state. The eternal state, and we're going to be talking about the reality of hell and the lake of fire. Amen. The reality of hell and the lake of fire. Well, that's our topic tomorrow night. That'll be part two. So be sure to join us. Remember that Jesus actually spoke, and we mentioned this, Jesus actually spoke in his ministry on earth that we see here in the Gospels. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And so we need to take into account what Jesus had to say about hell. Amen. So we'll be, once again, that'll be part two coming up tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Amen. You can also join us on Sunday morning as we continue in our series, That Good Part, learning the value of sitting at Jesus' feet. Amen. We've been getting close. We've been getting close to the Lord simply by hearing his word. And you can join us once again on Sunday morning as we continue to speak about that good part. Amen. Also, don't forget to join us here on Monday night. Monday night, of course, is our Line by Line podcast. Amen. We are currently in the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. Matthew, chapter number 15. That'll be part two coming up on Monday night. That's at 7 o'clock. Amen. Once again, you can also go to any one of these podcast platforms and you will find our podcast. If you like to download our podcast, you can go to Spreaker.com. That is our main podcast platform. You can download our podcast on your smart device. That's what many, many have done from across the United States and around the world. Once again, we do see you in Ghana and Russia and India and Australia and Canada and all points in between. We do see you, and we thank you once again for your support. Amen. So God is good. God is working. God is on the move. Once again, don't hear the lies of the enemy. Don't be intimidated when he seems to be telling you to stop or to modify or to adapt. No. Authentic gospel message. That's what we must do. Keeping Christ and his blood at the forefront of what we speak. Amen. And so let's do that, and we will see a great harvest. Amen. So I'm Pastor Michael Jakes. I want to thank you for joining us. And once again, we will see you hopefully tomorrow night. We'll be back here at 8 o'clock. Cutting It Right Bible Study. First Principles of the Christian Life. We'll be here 8 o'clock p.m. We'll see you then. May God bless you.